Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Sheepy, and this is Blog Talk Radio with All Poetry, and inside of All Poetry is a wonderful group called Team of Voices with Deborah Lee as our illustrious leader, and I am Sheepy, and this is the show Sweet Discussion, and tonight we are going to be talking about witchy things. And that was The Eagles with Witchy Women, Witchy Woman, actually, by Asylum Records, released in August 5th, 1972, which even was written by two members of the Eagles, Bernie and Don. It was the first of many of their songs Sean Hannon wrote, and that was actually wound to be a commercially successful song. So there you go. Gotta love any witchy woman that's out there. Right now we have Sky Darkham on the line with me. Say hello, Sky.
Hello, I'm ready for some witchy discussion.
Witchy discussion. Well, good. I got some witchy things going on. Would you believe that while that song was playing, I got disconnected? So you were all by yourself on the air.
No, I was all alone. You already left me all alone?
I did. Unfortunately, I left you alone. I didn't mean to, but I was. You were all alone. So the studio's already playing tricks on me on my witchy evening night. Like, oh, no. Let's hope that doesn't continue. I'm very afraid already.
The witchy business has already begun. I don't know why I can't speak
already
right now.
Begun. Yeah, I might be running a little bit of that. So I'm having a good time. Yay. My co-host is out shopping for shoes to pick up, so that's great, because my show was supposed to be a 10, but then I moved it to 8 because of the conflict, and that's okay. So a lot of my people don't know that, oh, she moved her show, but that's okay. Life is good. So I'll be witching alone for a while, but hey, I'm good at witching. I will cast spells on all of the roots together. But what I'm going to do, how long do I have you for, like 10 seconds?
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm glad you moved to eight.
I am, my heart is still if I have you all night. I'm really, really happy. I have a couple of things left over from last week for my heart surgery thing. And I have this fabulous, fabulous poem from JCA. So I'm actually just going to kind of start that out with JCA's poem, because it's amazing, and I'm very, very excited about that. So if you don't mind, I'm going to start that off with Mr. JCA, just to clean up last week. So we're going to do that. Last week was my anniversary of my heart song, and hold on, I've got what I'm going to believe is Rack and Tour on the line. Hello, Rack.
Hey. I was bringing presents. I was bringing presents.
Oh, he's bringing me presents. Of course he is. My Rack-a-Tour. Love with my AP heart. How are you?
I'm alive.
I'm good because I've been worried about you. You weren't feeling well.
Oh, yeah, I haven't been feeling the best, but, you know, someone cast a spell on me, I guess.
Well, I'll cast a spell and we'll see if that can help. A good thing, you know. I keep saying I cast a spell and all my fans are going to be like, oh my God, we can't be around her, no. I'm just kidding, you know. And for those that are into this, you know, more power to you. I take no judgments, you know, anything, be who you are, love, peace, and all of that. I believe everybody should be how they want to be. That's who I am. So go forth and be. Love, light, and all of the things that are out there in this world. That's just who I am. Let's see. Anyway, I was talking about JCA's poem. JCA wrote me a poem last week that I didn't get on the air. I have one from him, and I also have one from Dave. So, but I think Dave's going to call and read it to me. And that is, let me tell you, the poem Dave Prophet wrote me is freaking fantastic. I really love it, and I hope he calls and reads it, because it is the bomb of all bombs. He wrote me a poem on the subject of him and the Dark Mother, and it is awesome. I'm really excited about it. I read it, and it's the bomb. It actually has led me to, I'm going to write a collab with Dave Prophet and the Dark Mother. I'm very excited about it. So,
that's awesome.
It is. Oh, here comes Stephen. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Stephen.
Stephen the Witch. Say hi to, to Iraq and to Sky.
Hello. Yeah, I
So I'm...
Oh, yeah, I have to read and run. We're not even home. I actually pulled off to the side of the road to do this for you.
Right now.
Okay.
I'm so excited that you're here. I knew the second you called that I have to run and put you up and do whatever we're going to do because this is a special treat for me. So, and I haven't read it, but the title intrigues me, so I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be amazing, so... Okay, that's not what I wanted to do. It's so amazing that I can't even get up on the board right. Ah, I did it.
Yes, can you
do it? I'm like a ninja. I got it.
You got it up there? Oh, my God. Thank you. All right, read away.
All right. I hope you can hear me all right. This is called I Will Not Scream. My neighbors are a nice couple, been married for 2 years, always helping with yard work, and both I hold so dear. If I need sugar, just need to ask, always willing to give. I always feel safe and sound because next to them I live. One day her husband made a move, distasteful I thought it was, inebriated I do believe, alcohol does what it does. And now I stand here all alone, now being ridiculed and hated. He accused me of witchcraft because his appetite left unsated. They're saying because they have no kids, my evil spell's to blame. So quickly I was found guilty and now must face the flames. Perhaps I should have let him in, but that sin, how could I hide? They've lit the fire. I will not scream. Must go with dignity and pride. End poem.
Oh, harsh. Oh, that's harsh. Isn't that the way it went back then? Oh. Something didn't happen the way the neighbor wanted. It had to be somebody else's neighbor. Fault, 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 fault. Everybody was a witch. Oh, this is just tasty and beautifully. And I love your rhyme. Your rhyme scheme is awesome. But, oh, God, this is just beautiful and perfect. I love this a lot, Stephen. This is great. Thank you for bringing it. We'll just start right away. Sky, your thoughts.
Yeah, I thought this was wonderfully done, and it's not a story that's very, you know, you always hear these, I don't know, I guess generalization stories about being accused of different things, but I don't think I've, you know, it's those little detail stories that the no kids, it's like this really random stuff that happens to people, and then because of the witch hunt, everybody's running around, everybody's a witch, people can't swallow their own shortcomings, they need to blame somebody else. They can't just accept that maybe there's something wrong with them. They've got to lash out at other people. And, you know, in the past, obviously this is done. And you see it throughout history, and it's just a wonderful nod to that theory. And I like the first perspective, the first person perspective brought to it. Really, really well done. And, yeah, crazy.
Thanks, Kai.
And Rock and Tor.
Yeah, you did a great job with this. You told the story in a wonderful way. It's not, you know, period specific or anything like that. It's more, you know, generic about your neighbor and you kind of hint at the topic, but you know, you hit it dead on. In the sense of, you know, the accusations that people make, you know, people believe what they want to believe. You really did a very relatable job with it.
Thanks, Mark.
Absolutely. Okay, I know you got to run, but thank you, adore you. Absolutely everything you know that I am about you. So, bravo. Have a great show tonight. All those
Thank
fun
you.
Things.
All right.
What is your sound amazing?
Not really the sound amazing, right?
All right.
Bye, Stephen. Love you. All right, I've got Heather on the line.
Mr. Chapeau.
Oh, sweet pea. Yeah, this. Yes, there's. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
You know, the Salem witch hunts, the trials, there was two angles of thought. The one is that when they stored their grain, they had a mold growing, so the bread they were eating was causing hallucinations in sort of a mass hysteria type of thing. When they said they saw somebody do some witchery, they probably did. It was basically on freaking psilocybin.
That's insane.
That's not so far from the probability that it might not be true.
I'd buy that bread.
I don't think it's the kind of psilocybin you want to eat. I think there's also dysentery or something. Yeah.
All right, and then I want to welcome Lady A, too.
Lady A.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello, Canada.
Yes, indeed. Oh, Canada.
We love Canada.
Love it.
So, before I get too far into this.
Uh-oh. Was that towards me?
No, not at all. This guy isn't asking him what his show is about. He just left too quickly. FYI.
Well, usually when I hear the host say something and there's a long pause, I don't quite catch it. It's usually asking me a question or something.
I'm like, what's your show about? He's gone.
Witches. You got your witches, man.
And it was about what? Sound of Music tonight? I'm getting in trouble.
That's not what I read. Music
tonight? I'm talking to Sky. Sky.
Oh, Sky.
Where'd she go?
Sky.
She's in the attic.
It is the movement of sound, and they're doing the ZZ Top band at 10 p.m. We're writing the songs for them.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you. That is at over at, and I didn't clearly make that known, and I'm sorry because they are great, 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 great neighbors of ours, and I adore them. And I apologize for
you.
But he was like, told me before like 100 times, I got to read and go. And I didn't want to keep him. So he's going to talk about that. Like, I got to go. I'm like, okay, I'll make sure you go. So I didn't want to kick him. He made me sound bad. I'm not a bad person. But I am a witch. And I love Sky, if anyone doesn't know. Sky is my
because
I love her.
We all love Sky.
I know. Rack's already putting me to work. She's like, put this in the studio. I'm like.
Dang.
Well, she doesn't know about that one. There's a surprise on that.
I'm like, what are you talking about? I didn't do anything. I didn't ask anything, did I? Okay, so once again, I've got a couple of things to clean up from last. One is this beautiful poem from JCA. So I've got to get that happiness done. But I dropped everything because Stephen called. And I wanted to get this in, and this great, amazing poem that he did for me. And I'm so super happy. And so I wanted to make sure that happened. And that's because I'm crazy nuts about him. And so that's just something that had to get done. So now I think I can breathe maybe a little bit, not sure. I love this topic, by the way, just because I'm crazy about this topic. Of course, I'm always crazy about topics about myself, but not that I am. Ha ha. Somebody got that out there. But this is from last week. This is JCA, and I am going to pick
sky to read it. And it is
all
on
right.
The board. Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, look at that picture.
You're welcome.
Fire in the Heart by Tracy A. Carnelian agate sunrise scorches the ginger skyline, piercing the cobalt sky with a volcanic mist. Swirls of Irish verb echo in the halls of poetry, repeating the titanium rhythm stamped on a cardiac wave. She laughs in darkness. Not now. And no. Right, not now. Damn straight.
I thought it was just beautiful. I was kind of overcome with emotion, had a difficult time. JCA was someone that was very encouraging to me before and after the surgery. He talked to me a lot and gave me a lot of hope and kept me laughing a lot throughout this last year. And this poem, I really enjoyed these swirls of Irish verbs. That was kind of quite the funny line between the two of us, and I really enjoyed that. So thank you, JCA. It meant a great deal to me for you to write this, so thank you. Sky, you read it. What do you think?
Oh, I love this one. I loved reading it. I'm glad I got to. First of all, the ginger skyline. Really love that. And then the cobalt sky and the volcanic mist. He really brought in those colors, but with working in, a different way of seeing those colors, which I really loved. And I also really loved the verbs and the halls of poetry as well. And I liked a little bit at the end. You know, she laughed at darkness, sinister, like, you think you can get me now? You're wrong. I'm too strong. I'm gonna will myself through this, and I really like that because it does take a lot of strength to endure things like that, not only physically but mentally. So, you know, I really like his little attitude at the end, like, no, you can't get me, darkness. So, really well.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Hatter, your thoughts on that?
Did she say Hatter?
She did.
Okay.
First off, I gotta say that picture. I don't know who the artist was. That is an excellent picture. Yeah, he explains the scorches the ginger skyline. Look at that head of hair. The crazy eyes. That's the go from the crazy eyes. The volcanic mist. Swirls of verb. I'm surprised. Is he vulgar? Is he going through a brevity? JCA brevity? Volcanic mist. Verbs. Just an observation. Nothing wrong with it.
She laughs in darkness. You know.
Yeah. Poetic debris.
Funny.
I can't quit staring at that picture.
Yeah, it's pretty cool picture.
It is.
Wow. And Rack, any comments, questions, concerns?
I enjoyed Jay's poem as well. He's definitely eloquent and did a beautiful. I thought it was a beautiful tribute for you.
Thank you. And Lady A, any thoughts, questions, or comments?
Well, I thought this. I agree with Rack that this is a lovely tribute to you. And the picture, for those who can't see it, looks what we would call a classically or stereotypical Irish laugh with the long red, thick red hair and that pearlescent skin. And I think that, you know, he hit the nail on the head describing you in this. And I thought that was really a lovely thing. Like, and, you know, swirls of Irish verbs echo in the halls of poetry, repeating the titanium rhythms stamped on the cardiac waves. I mean, anybody that doesn't know you knows that this is just precisely what was going on and has been going on in your life. And she laughs in the darkness. Not now, not today. And I thought this is really lovely.
Oh, thank you. And one of the people that definitely laughs in the darkness is Christy with you. Oh, my God, poor you. Every time I think about it, I just say, oh, poor me. All right, there's something on the board I'm not aware of. There's definitely something on the board I'm not aware of, so this is from Rack, and this is also from last week. And I don't know about this, so I guess this is
Sky loaded it up for you.
Okay. So, go here. Sky loaded it up. Sky ready to push play because I have no idea where it is. Where is it, Sky?
I can. It's just going to take a minute. I got out of there. Give me 1 second.
Get out of here. Look, I got presents I didn't even know I had.
I thought you knew you had it. He just asked me to load it in, so I did.
Well, what you name it? I could find it.
It's just today's date. It says sweet.
Let me refresh my studio.
Okay.
Oh, I got it.
Her heart says moo. By Raconteur. I know a gal outstanding in her field, utterly brilliant and ahead of her time. I daydream of her till the cows come home. She has a way of calling my name that's simply bovine. If you share a problem, she'll never steer you wrong. Wouldn't think of pulling up stakes. Not one to milk her troubles or beef about her pains and aches. Imagine my horror when I heard she had a problem with her cardiac muscle. It didn't seem veal. Thankfully, she wasn't alone in her tussle. I volunteered my own, but was told it would not do. A plan was in motion to use parts that once went moo. It was touch and go for a while, but I remained steadfast in my belief. When she was declared stable, I was over the moon with relief. She's the spark that makes everything beautiful. I pray she stays safe from harm. Fate left her broke because the world couldn't afford it if she bought the farm.
Oh.
End poem.
I don't know I don't know whether to laugh or cry or do both because, oh my God, A, it's hilarious, but then it's so sentimental and sweet and adoring and you guys kill me with this. It's just this whole show was so enduring and so special from every single one of you, and this is just another one. And thank you from the bottom of my heart, and from the bottom of my hoofs or feet, whatever you want to call them now. Thank you. This is brilliant, Lady A. Your thoughts, please.
Well, I thought this was really very creative too, and I liked the opening of it, and the play on words was really quite smart. I know a gal outstanding in her field. That was a brilliant line, I think. And you had a few of them like that in here that were. You know, you could read them either way, and I thought that was really creative. But I think, where did it say that? Yeah, I volunteered my own, but was told it would not do. A plan was in motion to use parts that once went moo. The whole poem was very brilliantly written and, you know, playing on words with her surgery and you know, it just was a really, really nice poem. I loved it.
Thank you, Lady A.
You're welcome.
And Sky.
Sky.
Oh, I thought this was wonderfully, wonderfully clever. The bovine and the beef. I'm right with there with sweet because it was wavering between sweet sentiment and humor. That it was such a nice balance where it wouldn't just make you break down and cry because it's through the tears you might be laughing. And I really like that kind of sentiment and humor. And when you were just, it was just really, really clever in words and beautifully done, a beautiful tribute.
Yeah, I thought I was going to use the different breeds of cow, and then I found out there's like over 1,000 different breeds, so I had to go a different direction.
I don't even know how you wrote what you did. This is brilliant and intellectually off the charts. Hatter, my darling, and your thoughts.
Did you say Hatter?
I did say Hatter.
You
Jay
did,
Hatter,
okay.
The Mad Hatter.
Yeah, I was in this plane to go over fighting fires with these 747s. Yeah, I, like Lady A said, I like the way you used the little metaphor for your praises, bought the farm, the over the moon, cleared stable, moo. But at the top there was very, I think they were the best ones. Imagine my horror when I heard, not one to milk her troubles, pulling up stakes, steer you wrong. This is very clever. A lot of thought in it. I thought it was very ingenious, inventive.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah. I thought I was the only one that could do this. Good to see somebody else on the bandwagon. Move it on over.
Unbelievable. All right. I'm going to see if Dave Prophet calls and does his. If not, I will do his later, because that is also fabulous. Just fabulous. Okay. Time to get to some witchy, witchy poems. All right. Scott, you're gonna start this off. Are you ready, Scott? To begin the night with a little touch. Dun, 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 dun. All right, Sky, pick yourself up, and let's go.
Bewitch you in a moment.
Oh, did you say me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My girl.
This is a little one. So bear with me. All right. I wanted to do some work on this, but that didn't happen. All right, so this is called The Witch, The Wicked, and it was done in 2012. Nice, Kai Darkle. A sweat of emerald flesh, teeth claws of a Kershaw purr. She knew not of she was wicked. Blood, the first juice of her tongue, the creation of unfaithful wanton deception, a deluded memory, a scandalous sedition. And what of the savior of her birth? Fear. Fear of retribution. She'd have been drowned in a sting of water, considered damaged and fatal. Those cradling hands with the reflection of green in their eye. She aged friendless until time fondly sparked an unlikely find. The two lives became enduringly intertwined. Glinda and the witch united in one cause, the fight for civil rights against the Wizard of Oz. Soon they found themselves with opposing views, as one gave away what was not hers, a father's gift, the favorite sister's shoes. Enchanted refractions reflected refraction chase their silver glass beads, mirrored in the eyes of the witch's jealousy. That there was more to the story than anyone might have known, for the peddler never called father lizard in disguise. He, the true tyrant with prejudice and the will to seek power. So secretly, two once friends turned on seemingly separate sides, sought tyranny, demise. But when the throne of city's jewel found Alphaba in such plot, he sent a lost puppet made of string and coy innocence, an unwitting murderess who did indeed succeed. And with a lasting sting of water, the precious wizard was victorious in assassinating his own daughter. So who is the witch and who is the wicked? And what lies have you been led to believe? For there are many deceptions and stories told with perspective, and not all wrapped in the spun glass ribbons of fantasy and poem. And of course, this is based on Gregory Maguire's series, Wicked. And that's it.
Oh, I love this. And I, of course, knew it was definitely based on Wicked. And I love how you ended it. Who? So who is the witch and who is the wicked? And what lies have you been led to believe? But there are many deceptions and stories told with perspective. Word perspective. There's this really great saying that, you know, who is right and who is wrong. You know, it all depends on whose eyes see it. Because you never know. You never know what someone's perspective is. I love that very, very much. Perspective is an evil thing, depending on who sees what. You know, they say in witnesses are the worst possible thing you can have in a court of law. Because a perspective. This is just brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant version. The peddler never called Bob was a wizard in disguise. Literally just setting it up and watching his two daughters be assassinated. And this is something I could just delve in, you know, dive into and talk to you for hours about because, you know, I'm such a fan of Gregory Maguire. And just the way you brought it in there and, you know, piece by piece, and the drama that's built into this is just really well put together. And the secrecy and the darkness and the really depth of betrayal that's in here is more than just witchery. It's sadness and just so much loss to what people will do for the ounce of power. What will you do for power? You know, not just money, but power to rule. It's all in here on the underbelly, that's that seedling of I want it all. It's just brilliant sky. And Lady A, your thoughts, please. Not that I give Sky any time to talk to me about it, huh?
Thank you, sweet.
Hey.
Okay, what's Alphaba?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. I was talking away like an idiot. You have a lot of talent. You're a gifted writer, and I think that the storytelling in this was excellent, really excellent. You incorporate... The Wizard of Oz, but you put your own spin on it, the colorful bits and pieces that are in here are also excellent. You have a creative mind and you have a talent, and you know, you do a lot of work and put a lot of effort into not only your research when you do contests or your shows, but for writing as well. And your head is full of stories and books and images, and you're able to transcribe those onto your own with your own pen in your own fashion in such a wonderful way. It's really great.
Thank you, Andrea.
Welcome.
And Jay Hatter, the Mad Hatter, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I see. I also see the Cinderella and the Wizard of Oz. And then I see, oh, no, I don't see any Wonderland. What the hell? What is alfalfa? Alfalfa?
It's a grain.
That's her name in the series.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Alfalfa is a grain you feed cows also.
Alfalfa is the Wicked Witch's name in the series.
Okay, he was Alfalfa, I'm sorry.
He's the Green Witch and the Wizard of Oz.
And the wizard, the victorious wizard, ass-onated his own daughter? I mean, is that in the storyline also? The precious wizard victorious assassinated his own daughter?
Yeah, because she was fighting him. The wizard was all about oppression, and in the world of the Wizard of Oz, in the world of Oz, the animals could talk and were part of something. And because he came from the human world and he didn't think animals should talk, he did a lot of oppression. He mined all the rubies out of, to be able to build the city. He actually took over a smaller town to mine out all the jewels in their city, in their town to build the city. And he also tried to conquer all the surrounding things so that he would be the boss. So it was like she was against him and his political views. It was political in the first book. So.
All right. Nicely done.
Thank you.
And Raconteur.
Yeah, you leave my mind spinning in 100 different directions. If I mentioned the word Wondegore to you, would you know what I was talking about?
No.
It's from Marvel Comics. One of the worlds that Spider-Man encounters is where the animals talk. You made me think of that a little bit. But there was also another TV series where the animals talked. I think it was the one with the School of Magic on Netflix. Damn it. Anyway, I love the way you told the story, and like Sweepy mentioned, the idea of perspective is the other thing that again makes my mind spin in 100 directions, because that's so true to life. I've always felt that when someone tells you something, you can never really know the whole story, because it's not just that one person's perspective, but there's things that you'll never find out. There's things that you don't know, and the whys and the wherefores. So it's really almost impossible, even from, an intimate perspective. We could get close. And the other thing that Sweetie mentioned that was really very pertinent to me, too, when people do the eyewitness accounts, the cops actually get suspicious when everyone is identical. They feel it's rehearsed because of the difference of perspective. They expect the differences, and they look for the core of the story to be the same, but they expect there to be differences. If it's all identical, that's when they get suspicious. So, again, that idea of perspective comes into mind, and your whole poem reeks of that point that, it's all about perspective, And the other little adage that is very prevalent in writing, the victor writes history. I think that's how it goes, something like that. When in war, the victor is the one that writes the history. They tell the story from their perspective, I really appreciated it, your poem.
Thank you, Ron.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Hello, 503.
Hey, Sweep, this is Dave Prophet.
Hey!
I'm a little late this evening.
How are you?
Well, I'm running behind Oh, I'm kind of behind the eight ball, sweetie. I am. I had a bunch of people at my house, and I had to shoo them out of there, and I thought maybe your show was at 10 instead of right now, and so then I looked and on there, and I thought, oh,
that's
no,
okay.
I'm late.
Oh, you're not late. You're fine. Great. We're good. I knew I was waiting
okay,
on you anyway, and, we got some time, no big deal. I was just getting comments on Guy's home, Richie's home, and that was great, and I want to make sure. I didn't miss anybody, did I? I got Lady A, I got Rack, I got Hatter. We're all good.
Okay,
so,
well, did you guys read my poem? I hope you didn't, but.
Absolutely not. We did not.
Oh, okay.
I was talking about it, but I did not read it.
Insisting
okay.
on waiting, sir.
We're all waiting on
it. Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, good.
So actually,
good. Yeah.
Yeah, if we want to go ahead and we'll do that because that's last week's topic. So everybody is ready for this because I've been talking about it. This is the poem. So
okay.
If anybody else has comments, questions, or concerns, Sky, I love that poem, by the way. That rocks the house.
Thank you, Sky.
Yeah. And just one other thing from Sky. Yes, Sky.
Okay.
Tout your next show for me, please.
Thank you. It is Demolition Man Saturday night. It's at a different time, so please take note. It's at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over at Poetic Slides, and we are doing Demolition Man. So you can write any of the quotes, themes. I do not want any political poems about police, so please don't bring them. I won't read them. But anything else, there's lots of fun quips, prompts, and if you like some Sylvester Stallone and Sandra Bullock, come on by and enjoy the clips. Thank you.
Excellent. Demolition Man. All right. So.
I know some Bullock.
What? Let's go. Okay, this is one of the best Mother of Dark Mother poems we've ever been on this show. Just FYI, I'm going to say it out loud. I happen to like
again.
It. Again. I really like this. Okay, Dave, the poem is on the board. I've got the, I got to find the music. If I can find it. Okay. Let me know when you're ready to read, and we'll start.
Okay, is Deb handy there too?
Deb is not here.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, I'm ready to read it right now if you want.
Okay, and then I will start the music.
Okay, this is called Fire Warning. Can you turn it down just a little?
I just did.
Okay, all right. Okay, it goes like this. Her fire and rust mane flowing back from the bow shock of some distant supernova. Her siren cooing, spellcasting and whispers with a voice soft as eiderdown. Red shifted across the black velvet expanse, light years in length. She is the music of the spheres, sings the dark mother to sleep, her sultry timbre. Its edges rounded with femininity, and nothing else matters. When she speaks, she makes me twitch. She makes all men twitch, a normal reaction. She comes by her name, sweet pea, in shades of her honesty, courage, and the warmth of her soul, and nothing else matters. Such a beautiful poetess, this heart stealer of innocence. Fire warning. She can steal your heart and doesn't realize it. This sorceress flying with the dark mother. David, your lady friend, Sweet Pea, is one of my favorites of your friends, for her heart is so true. She bleeds for me and she bleeds for you. She bleeds before the whole human race. Nothing else, so nothing else matters. I shall watch over her. Thank you for showing me her heart. She shall fly the universe with you and I. What say you, my man? She is most worthy of you, my dark queen. Yes, please heal her heart, because nothing else matters. It is done then, David. I saw the dark mother kiss Sweet Pea on her forehead, and she ran her long fingers, translucent in dark energy, across Sweet Pea's face, gently wiping tears from the lady. And nothing else matters. I shall show you both supermassive black hole inside M87 firsthand. They'll put together picture for my two humans, or nothing else matters. So we flew across a space-time expanse as the Dark Mother folded space-time. M87's supermassive black hole, its 2.4 billion solar masses yawning, plus or minus 30%, its glowing accretion disk spinning in millions of miles per hour. This fiery merry-go-round chasing the event horizon, spinning up magnetic fields, twisted by the polar ends of M87, shooting into interstellar space. Its bow shock forming in 5,000 light years in length. Sweet Pea was overtaken with the beauty of it all, and she wept. The Dark Mother and I held her, and the Dark Mother kissed away her crystalline tears. Nothing else mattered. Sweet Pea smiled at me at last, and she said to me, David, I have no words for this. I don't either, I said to her. I will take you back now and explain it to you, for no one else will understand it better than the both of you. David, I can smell gunpowder and cotton candy, Sweet Pea said to me. It's just my natural essence sprinkling from the metallicity of every supernova that ever was, the Dark Mother told her. We found ourselves in a restaurant, and no one was inside. But there were lots of hot coffee and cream. I held Sweet's hand while the Dark Mother explained the secrets of the universe to us. As we drank restaurant coffee with whipped cream and Irish whiskey, for the Dark Mother had us both spellbound, and her hydrogen alpha eyes blazed when she feels good, and we were all good then unto this very day, because nothing else matters. End poem.
Oh my God, I love this so much. Like, you can't even believe it. I have fallen in love with this poem. I think it's fabulous. You know how I feel about it. You know that I want to do with it. I think it's great. I already told everybody that you're not going to write a call-up about it. We're going to have fun with it. I think it's, you know, I'm blessed to be, you know, taken care of by the Dark Mother. I can just see us in the cafe, just absorbing all that information. I think it's a great, cool story that you wrote. How can I not be happy that I'm one of the main characters in the Dark Mother story? I think it's one of the best Dark Mother stories out there, so what can I say? Thank you for writing it for me. It means a great deal to me. So, Sagittor, your thoughts on this?
Not that you're at all biased, but I have to agree with you. I'm slowly becoming familiar with the character that you know, everyone mentions it. I don't know if this is the first one that I've heard of it, but it's great to have a character like that in your stable that you can pull out, and you did an amazing job because it fits right in with the theme of what she's talking about and her situation and everything. So, the idea of it is lends itself well to your storytelling, and the poem itself was great.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Matt Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, I like the way you include a lot of the descriptions of space, describing it. It seems like you break out of the story narrative when you do that. I don't know if that's intended or not. If it wasn't, you might want to introduce a metaphor to begin that line of of conversation. I think you probably intended it, so there's nothing wrong. And then also, I remember them saying that space has a smell. Is that what it is? Gunpowder and cotton candy?
Yeah. Well, it does. And that's where that cotton candy and gunpowder idea came from. There are some nebulas out there that have these long chain alcohol molecules floating around in them that got put together. I think it's ethyl alcohol and maybe even some methanol. But and then you have hydrogen sulfide and gases like this, you know, and then stuff that would probably smell sweet. And the nitrides that form out of nitrogen and some of the metallicity of supernovas produces a kind of a gunpowder smell to it, you know, and that's where that's where the cotton candy and gunpowder came from, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to take off like it did, you know.
Very clever. Very clever. I caught that.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And Lady A, your thoughts?
Well, I have to agree with what everybody said so far with regard to the storytelling and the Dark Mother and the quotes when you start to it's almost like a play acting out when you speak for the other person that's in this. You speak for the Dark Mother and you speak for Sweet Pea, and I thought that this was really cleverly written, and you know, Sweet is an easy person to honor, and all the lovely things that you've said culminate in the person that she is. So you did a really good job.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Andrea. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I actually started this poem as a tribute to Sweet, and it kind of evolved into this over a period of time. And so I posted it to her, and then it was just sort of natural to read it on the air for her. So I'm glad I had the chance to do that.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It means a lot to me. All of the poems I've gotten are absolutely amazing. I cannot wait till we do the collab.
No, me neither. That'll be fun. That'll really be fun.
Yes. All right. I think I shall go next in reading my witchy poems.
All right.
Thank you, David. Again, I'm very, 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 very grateful. Okay.
You're welcome.
All right. So, back to us, guys. Back to the witchy night we're having. Let's see if I can get back to where I belong. Ooh. All right. Where are we? Okay, let me see. Hold on. Okay, let me see. Anyway, okay, hold on. I got to write. So, tell me, come on by. Anyway, come on by. Anyway.
Hey, did you watch H.R. Puff and Stuff when you were little, Sweet?
I did watch H.R. Puff and Stuff when I was little. Gotta love it. That's where I'm at right now, you know. That's Dave.
Well, then,
again.
I'm
lost without Pretty Bird, just so everybody, just FYI. I get totally lost without Pretty Bird. I have to admit, I miss her dearly. She can do a show with her eyes closed without me, but without her, I'm kind of like, ooh, what's the news? So it's kind of sad, but hold on. I think this is so cute. Hello?
Hello?
I know that voice.
What's going on? I know that voice, too. It'd be the voice of our illustrious dear dad. How you doing, girlie?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're having fun tonight. All right.
Good.
So, I am grabbing my poem here, and then we're having a lot of fun. Yeah, I am. I'm having a lot of fun. We just got done reading. Just got done reading the Dark Mother poem, and it was fabulous. it was a heart poem for me, and we're going to write a collab in an answer, so it's going to be absolutely amazing. I'm going to write a Dark Mother collab. So right now, we're going to go back to witches after I shut Amadeus up. Okay, are we ready? The poem is on the board, and obviously I did not shut Amadeus up. I apologize.
Amadeus
loves to talk at some point in time. All right. This is Coven of Sisters.
Sounds like he's eating somebody for dinner. Jeez.
All he's doing is asking to go outside, and unfortunately the office is here, and the dog door is, like, just right behind my office. So he's like, hey, everybody, I'm going to go outside now. Everybody, I'm going to go outside, okay? Just let you know I'm going to go outside. Like it's a dog door. Just go outside.
Give him a bone.
All right. All right. Coven of Sisters hang thy head low, a bard song. Sing our story strong and true. Goddesses of goodness, rulers of grace, givers of life, healers of flesh and of hate. Our mothers were beaten, tortured, and raped. Now they are bound in the church of unholy chain. Coven of Sisters, hang thy head low. Honor thy mothers from long ago. Conjure our powers and devour our foes. Mother of love, cradled her babe. Cool her in water as Deaver came. Other men shouted, a witch she must be. Gathered the world by a fire at her feet. Mother smiled as she cradled her babe. In the arms of the goddess, they lay peaceful and safe. Coven of Sisters, hang thy head low. Honor thy mothers from long ago. Conjure our powers and devour our foes. Deceit and black-colored robes recant the false stories of old. Twisted versions of supremacy, hardened coal, see no sins and servitude to dangling appendages. Shriveled with gold, craving the innocent too young to bleed. Give them our virgins to satisfy the bastards of need. Coven of Sisters, hang thy head low. Honor thy mothers from long ago. Conjure our powers and devour our foes. The winds of wizards decided their fate. Rocks in their holiest mountain bloodied their head. Daughters, don't weep. Fight back your revenge. Hold her around you before the last night of death. Coven of Sisters, hang your head low. Honor thy mothers from long ago. Conjure our powers and devour our foes. Sing our story strong and true. We will bloody the men in the pulp as they rule. They shall hang from their feet. The ravens shall eat every shriveled up crops of their wasted man meat. And you will reign in the glory of dead men and whores. Coven of Sisters, hang thy head low. Honor thy mothers from long ago. Conjure our powers and devour our foes. And poet.
Wow. That was cool.
Okay. Now.
No, okay. Wait a minute. Isn't Rack going to make people tell you how wonderful you are?
I told you since you showed up, you were going to run comments, but I certainly can. I mean, this is absolutely gorgeous. You know, and I love that repeating line too. That you know, it almost seems like a chant or an incantation or an invocation. I'm not sure. There's a subtle difference between the two. You know, typical Sweet Pea in my head. You know, you take darkness and you make it sound so welcoming and inviting and beautiful. yeah, don't cross the witches, Coven of Sisters. It's really, you know, you did a great job with that. I mean, the whole thing is gorgeous. I could see why they call you Queen of Darkness in this especially. let's get a couple of comments, starting with the Dark Mother himself. Dave.
Oh, this was beautiful. And I agree with what you said about the repeating line there, conjure our powers and devour our foes. That's really, really cool the way she worked that in there, you know, and its repetitiveness strengthens the storyline in it a lot. It's a good history lesson, too, you know, from the days of Salem and all the witchcraft and all that stuff that was going on back then. I've always been fascinated with witches and that sort of thing. And I was just spellbound listening to Sweet read this thing, you know. The poem that I just read speaks to that mesmerizing quality that that Sweet possesses. And she always has a way of making her stuff sensual. I don't know how she does it. She can make a grocery list sound sexy to me, but, it's really cool, and I really enjoyed this. I thought it was beautiful, and I loved the way it was worded. I'm going to put this thing on my front page, too, by the way. This was really good.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And, Deb, if you want to continue telling Sweet how brilliant she is.
Oh, I love telling Sweet how brilliant she is. You know, I remember this one, Sweet, and I was just looking. This was like one of your last contributions when I was still at my last gig. And
mm-hmm.
It wasn't all that often where I would turn around and say something like I did at the bottom. It says, "This is an excellent piece, Sweet, and then you speak it and utterly blow us away. Wow. I say you need to send it to Stephen King. OMG. Here it is to email to him." And I gave you the link to what was mm-hmm. at that time Whispers from Pandemonium, a show run by Silk Black Rose. So, like, mm-hmm. For it to be this impressive still 2 years later emphasizes why you wear that crown as our queen of darkness. Great one to bring with you tonight, dear heart.
And
I still
and
think you should send it
that,
to Mr. King now.
Speaking of that gentleman, I believe he is on the line right now. Hello, Silk.
Hey, Sweet. Hey, Dub.
Hey,
I heard
Rock
and Toro.
Hey, man.
How's everyone tonight? Oh, hey, Hatter.
Hello.
I'm glad I called in just in time to hear that read again. That was amazing. And yes, Sweet is the dark and twisted Scarlet Queen. So, yeah.
Yeah, I actually wrote that for one of your contests.
There we go. You kicked its ass.
Can I come in?
Yes.
I think that's part of why it's so badass, too, because she writes vicious, but she reads like an angel, and the contrast kicks your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes, Hatter, you can comment.
Did you say Hatter?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You got to ask what the attitude of the village was when the witch hunts and trials were going on.
Yeah, right.
And you know, during history, if you go back in history, there were times where there's very little progress in inventions, and I can understand why. If you were an inventor back then, you might want to keep it to yourself. You know, the guy who first learned to strike. Sulfur off the end of a stick and light fire. I mean, you got to keep that
just
to yourself. You were going down. You're going down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I bet you the timeline suggests or implies that was a time where progress as far as inventions probably didn't go very far.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you.
Well, I mean, even to this day, there are things that, you know, they come up with that look like they could be magic, you know? How could they do that, you know? Anyway.
Yeah, but we don't go out and burn. We don't go burn them at the stake.
No, yeah, well, yeah, that's a difference in the reaction, of course.
Yeah, not yet, anyway.
It's funny because when you mention burning someone at the stake on something like that, there's a couple of magicians that used to do that. I don't think they're alive anymore, but they took offense to the people that claim to be able to have psychic or magic powers. And the Amazing Randy had a bounty on anyone that could prove that they had, you know, like he was after Uri Geller big time. He didn't quite burn him at the stake, but he did, in the press, he did fillet the guy awful good and plenty of times. But anyway, I don't mean to hijack the show. Lady A, did you want to comment? Lady A, can you comment for Sweets?
Yes, I think that this was brilliant, and deceit in black colored robes. What a great line that is. And there were so many lines like that in this. And I really like how servitude to dangling appendages, shriveled with gold, craving the innocence of young to bleed, give them our virgins to satisfy the bastards of need. This was a really terrifically dark and gruesome piece of poetry, and I thought you did a wonderful job, and I like the repetition of the coven of sisters hang their heads low. I thought that was great, too. And I'll just say this last verse, then sing our stories strong and true. We will bloody the men from the pulpits they rule. They shall hang from their feet. The raven shall eat every a shriveled up corpse of their wasted man meat, and will reign in the glory of dead men and whores. This is really something else. What a great job you did. It really is an amazing piece and great storyline, and you've got all kinds of imagery and description in here that just, I found it very spellbinding, sitting at the edge of your seat kind of thing. I loved it.
Thank you. And your poem is up, young lady, to be read.
Okay.
We lost Sky?
Wait. Yeah, we did, unfortunately. We lost Sky. She had a family to go run through. Okay. But before you start, I'm going to welcome Hello 727.
Hello. Uh-oh. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Tired. Can't believe I'm calling your show.
Is that Chris?
It's
Chris.
Oh my gosh, how are you?
Good. I'm tired, but I'm good.
All right.
Hey, girl.
What's up?
We've got Hatter here. We've got Lady A here. We've got Rack and Torch here. We've got Silk here. We've got me here. We've got
Emily.
Who else I've got here? Huh?
Howdy, y'all.
Beverly.
We've got Dave Foster here.
Hey.
Did I name everybody?
Hey.
Anybody? I'm looking at my list.
Now you did.
Nope, I got everybody.
When you have a witch show, you got to have a warlock show up, right?
Of course. But right now, my Lady A is going to read for us, so Lady A, take it away.
Okay. This is called Night's Death Pyre. And the story of this, the initial story of this, is based on a true happening every night that I was growing up in this particular house. and it's called Night's Death Pyre. Ritual in the dark, straining, searching, eyes fixed on that door at the end of the hall. Under the tiny hatchway, flames licked the wall. Screams wake me, my own screams burning. Where does it begin and why does it exist? Unreasonable fear, no basis, no grounds, except perhaps through past lives found. Regression through hypnotic sleep assists. In the woods she lives. Townies are afraid. They say she's a witch. Cures the weak and sick. Magic potions conjured from herbs and sticks. Sorceress blasphemes from God she has strayed. Build a pyre, the men demand. Dragged her from her home and hearth. Stand before a fallacious court. Sentenced to death on their command. Leather ligatures bind arms and legs. Torches light the night's death pyre. Smoke billows above the red flames fire. Tears spill, eyes peer, plea and beg. Screams wake me. My own screams burning. This is where and why it began. This fear of fire my whole lifespan. Ritual in the dark, straining, searching, and poem.
Wow. That's stunning. I like so much about this poem that I can't even, I got to figure out where I'm going to start. Because I know you read it to me earlier, but I love leather ligatures. The arms and legs, torches like the night's death fire, smoke billows above red flames fire, tears still, eyes peer, plead and beg. I mean, the things, you know, it is fear at its core with such deep secrets, and you know, what do? When you're so afraid of everything, you're paralyzed in it. But how much did these women go through? How much fear was there just to even walk around and be afraid, like, you're a witch, you're a witch, you're a witch. I mean, every possible thing that you did, you could be called a witch. And even today, I mean, right now it's kind of a witch hunt for, unfortunately, the male side of it. I mean, oh, my God, he touched me, he said the wrong word, he did this, he did that, and boom, your career's gone, this is gone, this is gone, your reputation's gone. Just because a woman might not like you. So I kind of look at this sometimes where we're at, where possibly, I mean, not that all men don't like that, but just saying, you guys are kind of on a witch hunt right now. There aren't things that are legit, but a little bit of a craziness going on right now. If somebody says the wrong word or something, everything's taken away from them. So I kind of, not that we're not the state, because that's much different, but wow, sometimes in this world, people go a little on the extreme, and you can just be afraid of anything. Just walking on those eggshells, and I think this kind of really brings that to the forefront, and I really enjoyed that poem. So, Grass, we'll just start with you. Welcome to this crazy show. What do you think?
I just said a microcosm of society's fear and those things that can't understand and how we see our own realities against the backdrop of challenges dealing with political norms. Basically, I read it to be, or I heard when she read it, I heard, you know, that there's so many things that people don't see. If you don't fit in with the way that people think that you should be, you're always going to be on the outside looking in. And that's a fear that a lot of people have, because not everybody sees things their own way. It's kind of like a microcosm how society is today. You're either a conservative or you're a Democrat, or there's no in between. And I think what she's basically getting here is like, when she says, screams wake me and my own screams burning, and this is where and why it began, the fear of fire, a whole lifespan. We have that fear that we're going to be outed by society of those things that make us up. I really like there's like a story behind this, the poem, and it's not just that back in the olden times. It happens today as well. Very good, Lady A, and well deserving of the gold medal.
Oh, thank you so much, Grass. Great to hear you too. Thank you.
Bracken Tor, your thoughts?
I really enjoyed this. The fact that you went through it adds an undercurrent to it. But the dimensions of the screaming and the ligatures and things like that are really very poignant. But the thing I like the most is the idea about, you mentioned the healing with the herbs and the potions. The reality of that, I can't imagine going through something like that in any time, because you know what you do is beneficial, and you know the fear of the unknown keeps people from embracing it, and you're sitting there and you want to do good and you know you could do good and you end up being persecuted for it, so you have to kind of hide it under a bushel. And you know how many lives get lost because you know you can't announce that, you know, this is available. You know, and then the skepticism of it, and the fact that if you were to bring something like that out, you get persecuted for it. It's really a very scary thought, and you know, you wonder what was lost because people were afraid to come forward with ideas like that and thoughts like that. I thought that was a great inclusion in this, and you know, the way that you always add the little details and research things like that, I always appreciate that as well.
Thank you so much, Brad.
And then Hatter, I'm going to give you last crack. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to cut comments because I got poetry and lots of things to go. So you're going to comment and read your poem.
Okay. Lady A, you mentioned the sleep paralysis and the fear of fire. Do I remember right that is one of your core fears is fire? Was that
absolutely
you?
It's always been a gargantuan fear, and I can sit around a bonfire with adults sort of on edge a little bit. But if there's any children around and they're running around and running, and I almost have a fit, like, because I'm afraid they're going to fall into the fire. I think that, you know, this past life's regression, you know, will tell you something about yourself. But I know there must have been some sort of a burnt at the stake type of thing happened to me, because I have just, it's been my whole life. We had this hallway that I'm talking about in the house that we lived. The head of my bed was at the doorway, and down the hall was this little cubby hole, a storage thing that you could open the door of it. My mother made it into a pirate cave, and we used to play in there in the daytime. But at night, I always was, I'd watch it. I would watch to make sure there were no flames or smoke coming out from under the door. Isn't that crazy?
You know, Lady A, I remember being in elementary school, and fire week or fire month, whatever it was, scared the hell out of me too. Everything can burn,
yeah,
man. So, you know, if there was no actual incident that you can relate to why you have the fear, you know, and that's something that back then you'd want to keep to yourself, because nobody fears the a fire. We cook, stay warm. And if you fear fire, you must be in league with the devil, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and Gress, it's so good. It's good to hear from you, man. Nice to hear your voice.
No problem,
Gress,
man.
Yeah. I was mentioning before, Gress, wouldn't you suck to be the inventor, the village inventor?
Yeah.
Check this out, man. You're a witch. Oh, okay. That's it.
Catter, you're up to read, darling.
Yes, got it. Got it.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, you killed it, too. I wasn't even ready. This is the oldie but a goodie. Uh, Did you load it up for me in there?
I did, darling.
Okay. This is Blackwater, the Blackwater Witch.
Oh, Blackwater.
Okay. Why is it jumping around? All right. Goes like this. They say he died before his time in the kingdom of the last crystal ball. The prophet of song, rhythm, and rhyme died at the foot of Blackwater Falls. Written was that upon his death an imprisoned curse would lift the spells of the dark and ancient one, the freedom of the Blackwater Witch. He swore to burn the kingdom down in prison for 100 years, to curse all those that write and rhyme the killing of the poet's fears. Fear the dusk as she flies free, accompanied by those she's with, killing writers of song and verse, the curse of the Blackwater Witch. Beware, she flies free tonight, looking for poets to die. She will hunt and feed when the moon is lost from the dark of the Blackwater sky. Whoa.
I do. It's one of my favorites. Oh.
I think it was a contest. Yeah, it must have been a contest.
Yeah. It's definitely one of my favorites. I love the rhyme, the storytelling, and beware she flies free tonight looking for poets to die. Of course she does, because, you know, I'm a poet that needs to die because I don't rhyme. But I always rhyme to you, so hopefully this is the one curse that you've taken off of me after all this time, because when I write for you, I try to rhyme. So we had a discussion way back about this, and I told you that when I wrote for you, I would rhyme. I don't know if you remember this discussion in the switch, because that's one of the reasons I do write for you in rhyme. It's all about this Blackwater Witch and her sky and her trying to kill poets.
Oh,
so,
right.
This is something I'm, yeah, so I'm really hoping that this will help you. So, Dave, your thoughts on the Blackwater Witch trying to kill us poets?
Oh, this was great. It's full of Hatter spun rhyme and meter and storyline and stuff, and it's perfect, and it's all done in 5 stanzas, and I'm sitting here wondering, gee, Dave, you don't even know how to write anymore when you read something like this. I really liked it. I like the doom and gloom that's put into it. You know, witches are supposed to be scary, and this is, you know, and I like the banner picture that you used too. Fear the dusk as she flies free, accompanied by those she's with, killing writers of song and verse, the curse of the Blackwater Witch. That's really a cool stanza. Fear the dusk as she flies free. That's, you know, as soon as it starts getting dusk, and you know, you see all these weird shadows and the light's not quite the same, and it sets the stanza up, you know, and the rest of the poem up for you know, spooky stuff like that. Beware she flies free tonight looking for poets to die. That's pretty grim. She will hunt and feed when the moon is lost from the dark of the Blackwater sky. That's cool. The whole thing is really neat. I love Hatter's work. He's just so much fun, and well done, my friend.
Yeah, you can hear him at night. You can hear him at night in the trees. They just go, who, who.
Yeah, that's it.
Who,
that's right.
Who?
That's it. All those
and
things are bumping the night, you know.
Finally, get a comment from Rack and Tour.
Yeah, I like the idea of this, that there's a stereotype in certain circles about the arrogance and elitism of poets. So for this witch to decide that that's who she's going to prey upon, you accept that as the basis of something like that, and you read it, it gives an added sense of satire to it that I really appreciated, you know, because, you know, some people, they talk about poets and their attitudes and things. So the fact that this witch is flying around in classic witch style, you know, and preying on the writers of, how did you put it, writers of something in verse, that was a really a beautiful thought. And then you carried it throughout the whole piece. So, you know, that was great. You know, you didn't pick on children or anything like that, which is normally the target of a witch. So the fact that you're focusing on the writers and offering it up to a bunch of writers really makes it that much cooler for me. I loved it.
You know, I did have – thank you. I remember having a verse that I edited out because it didn't work quite as well about she was unable to rhyme. She wasn't a rhymer. I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't say that.
No, I'm not. I'm not a rhymer at all. So, Silk, you will make a comment, and then I will have you up to read. And then I'm going to have Dev read, and then Gress, I'm going to throw you in there next, okay? After Dev. Okay. So, Silky, make a comment on Hatter, if you're still around.
Yeah.
Silk.
Oh, crap. I'm sitting here talking on mute. My bad.
I'm sure. Okay. It was brilliant.
I know. It was just the most brilliant stuff ever, and I just can't remember it now. I'm just, But, no, I totally dug it, Hatter. I always love all your poetry, though, Hatter. And, yeah, well-rhymed, of course, all the time. But to me, I love that spooky kind of haunting quality. And you actually gave it that feel of a good urban legend. And now... I'm going to have to be double-checking the skies, making sure any witches aren't coming after me, since I'm a poet, too. And I guess us poets, yeah, just need a little bit of the fear of goddess in us, and there we go. I really do.
Thanks,
man. Great piece.
Thanks, Gabriel.
All right, you're up to read, my man.
Okay, let me sit here and grab my piece here, and it's actually on the off the thing. Oh, you already put it up. Okay, good. I was trying to find my link. Okay, this one's Daughter of the Desert Moon. Scorned. Her fingertips caress crimson sigils that glimmer across gilded leather pages as she strokes the onyx binding that imprisons the songs of the dead. Beautiful daughter of the desert moon, dancing with tigers in the evening, drunk on the music of reeds and spilling the wine of her veins to woo Nephthys. She bathes naked in pools of silver moonlight, inhaling the shadows of Duat, lush lady of lascivious intent, dripping with narcotic nectars, slaying the heartbeats of Osiris. As she bends death to her design and wraps herself in a shroud of twilight, spells slip from her tongue to her lips, slithering across the sand, smooth as viper scales, striking down the flesh of her enemies and sowing fear into the heartstrings of her rivals, weaving darkness into a web of necromancy, invoking Heka in the name of the dead, spreading her mists across the dunes, hollow souls wailing beyond the veil, poised to spill from the depths, insatiable to devour the hearts of the living. Scarlet smile glimmers with malice, her seduction complete, eyes alight with vengeance. With just a word, her pets will swarm the world like locusts, and even the gods will taste her revenge. Yimpon.
I swear, the way you can read a poem, the writing is superb, and yes, with just a word, her pets will swarm the world like locusts, and even the gods will taste revenge. Yes, absolutely. With a word, my pets would swarm the world like locusts, and the gods have tasted my revenge. I love how you write about yourself. But sometimes our speech is just so silent.
There we go.
Ah, spell slipped from her tongue to her lips, slithering across the sand. The alliteration you have just in that one stanza, I really enjoyed. Smooth as viper's scales striking down the flesh of her enemies and sowing fear into the heartstrings of her rivals. This is just beautiful. And it just displays all the wickedness of one woman. Ah, you gotta love a woman full of her wickedness. Just beautifully dark, sensual. And I, again, mm-hmm. I cannot just smile when you say, with just a word, her pets will swarm the world like locusts, and even the gods will taste her revenge. Just a beautiful, beautiful ending. All right, as I become more and more enamored, we will let Lei Ye flatter you with her words.
I'm sorry about that. Silk, you have always been the king of romance, dark romance, and you have always been able to, I think every woman would stand there in her underwear when you swoop down as Dracula or some other dark creature and very willingly let you into their boudoir. And you just have this way. And I remember when you first started calling into the shows, and you have evolved into this fantastic fantasy man. And I think it's just marvelous what you do with your poetry. And this is just another one that gives off that same aura. And, you know, you're very hot, I have to say. It's a very good poem.
Well, thank you, Lydia. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And then I am going to have Dragon Tour, give me your comments.
Yeah, this is very enjoyable, Silk. I dabble in darkness. I don't do it the same way at all. So I admire when people can write like this. You really add a sensuality to it, and the whole story reads quite differently. You know, when you're able to do something like that, because I want to say the undertone of it makes it more appealing, more adult and attractive, and you know it makes for a great story too. On top of it, you know, your choice of language and the way that you carry out with your plot and whatnot is just gorgeous. This is lovely.
All right, and then I'm
going
to
Oh, thank you, Rakator. I appreciate that.
Deb, I'm going to ask you for a final comment, and I'm going to have you read your poem.
Hey, Silk. I was trying to pick out which one I would use as my favorite part, because it was just like you were just bringing in the details and the darkness and the story, and it was just like, all right, well, since I wrote about, or I brought a poem about necromancers, I'll go with that one. Hell of a stanza, weaving darkness into a web of necromancy, invoking Hecate in the name of the dead, spreading her mists across the dunes. Hollow souls waiting beyond the veil, poised to spill from the depths, insatiable to devour the hearts of the kings. Sorry, I was going to a different area there. But I thought that was really gripping detail that kept us waiting for more as you read, and an amazing read, too. And I'm heading over there.
Yes. Someday,
I'm on mute again.
We'll
thank you, Deb. Also, I wanted to tell you guys, I'm gonna listen to the rest of the show on mute, but I'm not going anywhere because there are mosquitoes everywhere out here.
Okay, well, go somewhere. Don't be bitten up.
And yeah, I prefer to get bitten by hot redheads and not mosquitoes. So.
The red bottle fly.
And Russ, just FYI, there's a very meaningful underwear story between me and Hattie.
Did you say Hattie? Ruh-roh.
No, I said there's a very meaningful underwear story between you and me. We'll have to talk about it someday.
Right, bro. That kind of wearing.
All right, sorry about that, Deb. Go ahead.
The bitches,
okay. I remember the underwear story. I was waiting to see where this conversation went. Anyway, this is called Clash. That's the Necromancers. Here we go. Ms. Ebony Shrew spreads her web of darkness with the forked whispers that hiss, blocking the sunshine, fussing out shadows as the air chills. Then frostbite coats the dandelion in the yellow fields of daffodils. As green stems dry, crumbling into crispy petals that fall, the pastel pigments die and an icy windstorm blows, seeding the belladonna and crabgrass that sprouts in the corner meadows. She nabs Mother Earth's engraved locket, pickles little giggles and bottles daydreams. Just to tuck them in her dark pouch, wrapping the edges with rusted barbed wire, stuffing it in her pocket and masking the amethyst crystal glow. Lifting the hinged pendant lid, she locks it like the vault holding graveyard coffins. Funeral knell chimes in her crypt as listeners curl in fetal balls, injecting sweet tea to freebase arsenic laced with antifreeze, broadcasting bombs and rhyme. Her potion triggers blurred vision on an escalator ride down. But the Maiden of Light spreads colored rays and neon arches, beating gray clouds around. She dots the shrouds with lithium blinks, sprinkled in flecks of diamond dust to glitter all the stars and constellations, and the man on the blue cheese moon winks. Sunshine kissed wildflower blossoms and blooms that perfuming tropical breezes. Jeweled colors ignite like firecrackers, and the church choir sings hymns with the pearl harp chords strummed at the steeple bell's rings. Spotlight marks the chapel stepping stones, paving the cypress-lined path to the spiral stairway. Listeners climb the stairs, and gold halo tints shine, pointing chrome beams at the glowing display. Feathers fly in the clash with light and darkness. Tonight the mountains and valleys quake. Tornadoes yank them in and the necklace shakes. Twirling and grabbing they reach out. Spinning round and round in a tug of war, the two revolve in circles and shout. Light butterflies and dark backstrokes. Roulette wheels rotate, landing on apple red, and the rolled dice bounce and show snake eyes. Up, down, fingernails claw, fists fly, bob, weave. Lightning lasers slice the sky, dodge, dip. This is do or die, round and round, and now the winner is... And boom.
No, Deb, I, you know, listening to you read this again, and I'm going to say the same thing I said about the first time. It's literally like a being in a tunnel type train tracks, and there's no light. You don't know how far away the train is, but you know you're there. You just hear the train coming, you hear the train coming, you hear the train coming, you hear the train coming, and you know you're going to die, you know you're going to die, but you just don't know when. And that's how I feel. And just that build up and that pulsing, like, oh my gosh, it's going to happen. But you don't know. I mean, there's so much constant, like, oh, and oh my God. the, like, funeral nail chimes in her crypt as dissonance curl and fetal balls injecting sweet tea to free-base arsenic laced with antifreeze, broadcasting song in rhyme. Holy hell, who writes that but you? I just feel it in my gut. It's just so good. Oh, Megan, Gresh, you're fine.
Thank you, my sweet.
Wow, all I can say is it's a 4D poem, like all senses were touched, sight, smell, feelings. I mean, it was amazing. I love all the colors and everything that was in it. I think that my favorite part is her potion triggers blurred vision on an escalator ride down, but the maiden of light spreads colored rays and neon arches, being fat grays filed around. That's awesome. Great job, Deb.
Thank you so much, Grassman.
And Lady A, your thoughts.
I loved everything about this poem, but I particularly loved your use of alliteration, and I loved your rhyme, the cadence of it. I thought that really jumped out at me. I mean, everything about this poem is beautiful, but those things jumped out at me, and especially your rhyme cadence. It was terrific. Very, very fantastic poem. Really, really fantastic.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
And Jay Hatter Hatter.
Deb, this is one of your best, I think. The metaphors, I was counting the metaphors that I liked so much, I was going to go back to it, but I lost count, I quit counting early in the piece. I'll see if I can find, it's just so much, but I like you've adopted that long rhyme, that long run-on sentence, which I think highlights your free essentially. You know, like waste with antifreeze. Some of these were, I'm trying to find the one that I was most impressed with. The one was pickles, little giggles, and bottles of daydreams. Stuff that just rolls off your tongue, like almost nonsensical, but it is.
I'm blown away.
All right, Chris, if you have your poem, throw it up there.
Actually, I need a woman to read it because it's about two women.
All right, I can do that for you if you'd like.
All right.
Tear Witch by Gressman. It started the day I went to college, became smarter and obtained knowledge. My roommate was waiting in her room, introduced to her cauldron and brew, laughing, thinking I was getting pranked. Tried leaving, but her gross goons flanked. It's funny, and you have gotten real scared, pushed me down, and picked up and shared. Casting a spell on me so that I couldn't tell. Becoming her slave to serve her in wretched hell, her play toy to sweat out to boys and using fun, damaging my reputation I had just begun, went to her classes as her form to mine, changed to goth to complete the crime. 4 years went by and she finally moved on, looking deep in the mirror and I was gone. The magic she used, simply peer pressure, lost in coolness, ways was my own measure and poem. Wow. That is amazing. I really like that. Very cool. Sometimes the pressure we put on ourselves. I like that she went off, but happy to toy to slut out boys and using fun, damaging my reputation I had just begun. Gotta be cooler, gotta be cuter, gotta be faster. I can get more boys than you. Wow. Dev, what'd you think? Lady A, what do you think?
I thought it was great.
No, I just didn't hear you. I thought I lost myself. Sorry.
I thought it was really great. You did a great read on it, and I think that tonight's show altogether, with this, including this poem, is spectacular. It's a great topic, and the writers are so talented. This poem was fantastic as well, and it just makes me proud to be part of the group.
Thank you. Rocky Tor, your thoughts?
Who did you say?
Rack. Rocky Tor. My moo cow buddy.
I got a spider. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I was fighting with the mute button. I was prattling on. I mentioned the verse where he talks about the cauldron and broom. That kind of sets up the whole story. But I mean, it's you know, one of those things when I read them. You know, I would call it tight because it's very well constructed. I really appreciate it for that, the form and whatnot. You know, the rhyme. The whole story is interesting. This is pretty cool.
Absolutely. And
thank
Dave
you very much.
Hatter.
I heard Hatter.
Hatter.
Guess there's no hiding the little personal sadness in this. I think. I like the. The change looked to God to complete the crime. 4 years went by, and she finally moved on, looking deep into the mirror, and I was gone. Beautiful flow in the storyline and the rhyming. Nicely done.
Yeah, I don't do rhyming very well usually.
All right. Be careful that. Rich, she's going to come get you. All right, guys, I have a couple of audios that we're going to do, and then the Witchy Show and the Witching Hours are going to be gone. Before that happens, I want to thank everybody that's been here tonight. You guys have been absolutely amazing. So starting with Sky and Rat and Hatter and Lady A and Dave and Deb and Silk and Gress, you guys are just been absolutely freaking amazing. Cannot thank everybody enough. And then everybody that wrote for my show, which just includes Frank and Heavenly Angel and Laughing Soul and Budo. Thank you guys from the bottom of my heart and everybody that's out there listening. I absolutely cannot do this without each and every one of you. So thank you. So come on, let's get started. We've got Frank's poem I'm going to put on the board. And then hit the little button that says, hey, everybody listen to Frank. Which, if I can coordinate that, not my pretty bird, we're going to be good. Listen to the dead air. Everybody listen to dead air. Because Sleepy is really good at doing all this. What? All right. Everybody got it? And here we go.
A myriad of impregnated screens rack my little brain, penetrating through my impenetrable walls, a colossal leviathan with the force of a sonomic rage. 2,000 demons busting through the walls of my fate insanity, releasing the Medusan tremors of the collapsing earth in the blood-sucking leeches of ravenous vampires conjured in the fiery dungeon of my piercing pain. A psychedelic odyssey, psychotic madness, shackled fears, molten hot lover, quondam delusions, quasi-dreams, tattered pieces, a fountain of blood. Disturbing soliloquies, perilous thoughts, a destined solitude, a harrowing zenith, a deluded pleasure dome, a destructive threshold, a coiling double helix, the winding paths of horror. I am an exiled man chained to a heavy rock, on a lone mountain peak, a wretched beast to himself, reduced to the memories of his forsaken love. Before the bloodbath of the scavenging ravens, in mercy of my tormentor, who deemed me a prisoner of my harsh punishment, I have been fully stripped of my bloody garments, leaving my body naked to the undeniable truth and unbearable suffering. I am a condemned man, the face of the beast that I fear and loathe, and my love for her is forever my eternal condemnation. I am tormented every day by the haunting shadow of the beautiful woman who was once my bride. Am I bloody insane? Oh, am I bloody insane?
I know who we're getting for all of our Halloween stories. Oh my God.
I tell you what, he's amazing. This Frank, this is incredible. I really enjoyed this. You know, I'm so sorry what you did. Yeah. The haunting shadow of the beautiful woman who was once my bride. You are a condemned man, my son. This is a great poem. The imagery is fantastic. The story is great. Chained to a heavy rock and a lone mountain peak, a wretched beast. I think maybe you deserve to be there, kind of put yourself there. Sometimes we have to be punished for our own sins, dude. I'm just saying. But what a great story. I love how you put it out there. Very well done. Very, very well done, and thank you for sending that to me. I couldn't be more happy about that. Gress, please tell me what you thought of Mr. Frank.
Oh, my God. I just, you know, I love his voice with this, and it's so Poe-ish. It's like how Poe, I kept on thinking of, like, one of the Poe's, like, soliloquies that it's in his own mind, and the way that he crafted it was awesome. I love this part. I am an exiled man chained to a heavy rock on the lone mountain peak, a wretched beast to himself, reduced to the memories of his forsaken love. Oh my God, that was awesome.
Yeah. Telltale Heart.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, look what we've done. Yeah,
I've had her. Look what we've done to Frank. I like that.
Hey, this went on a list before it was even over. yeah, I just got to say, look what we've done to Frank. No, it's good. I mean, I love this new flavor he's put on, his twist he's put on his rights. I think the recordings are great. I wish I had, when I grew up, I want his voice, you know.
Yeah, Frank's list for me is called Frank Spale Reads. That's the name of his list. Yeah. Frank's great.
I was
going
to hire him to read all mine.
And Ragatore, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like the image of being chained to the rock. It almost sounded a little like he was speaking to Deb's poem about the ravens picking apart the guy. You know, I thought that was an odd coincidence that he brought the ravens of all birds to be, you know, picking him apart. But, you know, I guess that goes with the Poe feel. He was trying to evoke The overall piece, though, was, you know, again, well, like everyone mentioned, well read and well constructed.
Excellent. And yeah, your comment will be the last one. And if you could read Heavenly Angel's poem, I would appreciate it.
Okay. Well, Frank, I think you outdid yourself with this one. I thought this was terrific. He has, as Gress said, the voice and the essence of Poe throughout this piece is quite evident. I loved his use of his. Let me see. We'll try to get to one of them here. Tsunamic rage, his adjectives, Medusian tremors, ravenous vampires, a psychedelic odyssey, psychotic madness, quantum delusions. I really loved his adjectives and the repetition, his perilous thoughts, and he goes, a destined, a harrowing, a delude repetition there. And then it became very, 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 very sad. I'm an exiled man chained to a heavy rock on a lone mountain peak, a wretched beast to himself, reduced to the memories of his forsaken love. You can feel the agony that is being experienced there. I thought this was one of his best pieces that I've read. I mean, he's written so many wonderful pieces, but this was magnificent. I am tormented every day by the haunting shadow of the beautiful woman who was once my bride. Am I bloody insane? And then the laugh. Magnificent. Magnifico, Francisco.
All right. Lydia, you are up for Heavenly Angel.
Okay. You just went on my list, Frank. Okay. Heavenly Angel. The witches, it's called Witch's Ball. Stir up the brew, little black cat. Add eye of frog, some tail of the dog, then wing of a bat, and hair of rat to witch's stew. The old witches cackle as they stir the cauldron. As creatures all dance this night, two-step, ghoul-step, some quite adept. Oh, what a sight, the monster's delight, the witch's ball. And I'll worry myself about what I have done dancing with the skeletons in my closet. Did I swoon to the vampire's gaze? Did the werewolf howl reverberate under the moon's full phase? The witch's ball, 'twould be my downfall. As I'll worry myself about what I have done dancing with the skeletons in my closet. End poem.
Ah, can we worry too much about the skeletons in our closet? I can, because I'm usually, if I'm dancing that much, you know, we can worry about what I've done. The witches cackle as they stir the cauldron, as the creatures of the night dance this night, two-step, ghoul step. You know, I think if you're having that much fun, don't drink too much, and you don't have to worry too much about what your skeletons are going to do. And if you're that drunk, who really cares? It's the alcohol. But no, I really like this. As I'll worry myself what I have done dancing with the skeletons in my closet. I think people worry about that a little too much. What's done is done. And, you know, if you can't worry too much, unless, of course, you might go to prison for it, then maybe you should worry. But I like the message in here, and I like what she's talking about. But this is very, very intriguing to me. I have to think on this one a little bit more. You've piqued my interest, my Should I worry about what I've done, dancing with the skeletons in my closet? I really like that line. Rack, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that was a brilliant metaphor to mix in with this. It gave it enough of a feel that, you know, you could take it on its face as just a lighthearted poem, but, you know, it adds a lot of depth and layer to what could have been just a very playful, punny write. I'll dance with you. I'll dance with you.
Thank you. And my Mad Hatter.
Yeah, I love the way she broke up the rhyming scheme. I think that in a storyline, it adds to it. To break away from a common rhyme scheme, this is well thought out and well written. That the line, of course, is dancing with the skeletons in my closet. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I am jealous. I wish I had said that.
And so tell her you got a bone to pick with her.
And
you know, what are they actually dancing to? What dance are they doing? That's good. You got to ask.
I don't know. And Gress, your thoughts?
At first, I was like, "Oh, this is kind of cute," and then it got into more involving, and then the last line, man, just, you know, we all have skeletons out in our closet, but we don't need to keep them buried there. I think we put too much pressure on ourselves. There's certain things in our lives that we would wish we would do over again and have a different outcome, but that's not how our lives work. Very good ending. I really enjoyed it.
You wonder the last line, if she built around it, or did she come up with it at the
end? I think she built around it, because I think it was a given line, but it was punched it home, though.
Yeah, it did. Okay.
All right. And then, Gress, I'm going to have you read Buddha's poem for me.
All right.
He would be so kind.
Whose poem?
Buddha.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me see if I can get
you
to there.
Usually he sends me a SoundCloud. I haven't put it on the board yet. And usually he leaves me a SoundCloud, but I don't have one.
Okay.
Is there something at the bottom? Is there something at the bottom?
No, it's not there. I looked.
Well, good. We get to read
it. Let me do this by Pluto.
Yeah, so Gress is going to read it.
Okay, Driftwood by Pluto. Autometric phosphorus in glided luminance rises over land to greet her, a spiritual nymph of sorrow's brow. Replete in enduring passage, love mourn be thy name, ashes grow cold and hollow drift. A battle of dominion of hell's fury suppressed by one, who embraced ebon grit. Lone transpired light in her gaze, a sacrificial barter of free will, his soul emancipated, twin flame disrupted, decamping sullen survivor. Her crystalline tears stain turf in vivid reflections, whispering subtle gestures of what was and never to be again.
Wow. A spiritual nymph of sorrow's brow. Love lorn be thy name, a hell's fury suppressed by one. I don't want to run into her at all. What was and never to be again. She doesn't sound pleasant, but she also sounds very sad. I love spiritual nymph of sorrow. I can't even say this word. I'm losing my ability to speak, obviously. Too many shots of vodka or something over here. Actually, Irish whiskey, but... I don't know. I don't know if she, I don't know, maybe she's not evil, maybe she's sad. But then, twin flame disrupted. I don't know, what do you guys think? Her soul emancipated. The picture looks really sad. But she also looks like she has like horns and thorns sticking out of her back. So she looks a little dangerous. I know, Buddha, you got me on this one. It's like I want to hug her and then like I'm absolutely scared to death of her. Like, what would she do if I did hug her? Like, you want to bring her in and then she'll just rip you to shreds. You really, it kind of reminds me like she should be in the trilogy that you wrote for me. Like, she's part of that in the mountains. Like, maybe this is the woman that your warrior should be trying to save. So she kind of like belongs in that story that you wrote for me, and somehow she's part of that witchery in that. So, yeah, that really fits with that, and I'm putting her in that story, and I don't lie, but this is brilliant. Gress, you read it. What are your thoughts?
I just thought the language in it was superior. I mean, I like some of the wording he has, and I mean, Ebon Griff, and then you have some words in there like luminescence, and just the words, how they put together for, you know, it's really a short poem, but it tells a great story. Really good. I thought it did a great job on it.
Yeah. Back into your thoughts.
Yeah, I always like Bud's work, and you know, this to me is like it feels like he's got a weight lifted off of his shoulders. The reluctance, I think, is outweighed by what she did to him and how he felt and how he feels taken advantage of. So, you know, I love poems like this. You know, I could go on probably. But, you know, I appreciate the way he crafts it. And, you know, like, was that Gress that just said, his word choices were also, you know, excellent. They add to the feel of it and the weight.
Mm-hmm. And Lady A, your thoughts?
Sorry with that. I thought that... I'm lost here. Hang on a second.
That's okay. Can't be lost for long. I'm almost done.
Okay. Yeah. I like his vocabulary in this, first of all, and he has a real end of his thought. A sacrificial barter, if you will, his soul emancipated. Flame disrupted, decamping sullen survivor. I thought that his description of what was taking place was really. I'm sorry. Everybody's cutting out. I can't hear. What's
feedback.
Going on.
No, it's like feedback from Blog Talk or something. They're mad at me. I've been on
yeah.
long. They're like, you're
yes.
over.
I really love this piece. I love what he was trying to do with it, and a spiritual nymph of sorrow's brow. And then going to the very last verse, her crystalline tears stain turf in vivid recollections, whispering subtle gestures of what was and never to be again. I thought this was very dramatic and pulled at your heart. I thought it was a great write.
Absolutely. Well, Budo is the last poem of the night. Thank you guys for hanging out with me.
No, he's not.
I don't get to say anything.
Oh, Heather, I thought I talked
yeah.
to you. I'm so sorry. Oh, wow, what a piece of lousy.
No, I'm just
gonna,
I just got to agree. I just got to agree with what was basically was said. I am impressed by Bill every time he posts something. This is a piece of brevity for him, and he says so much. You know, the spiritual nymph of sorrow's brow. There are certain words in here that you could pick that either Boudreaux, he's going off of his own sorrow from the past of a relationship or something, or he's able to touch it, tap into that thing that makes some writers above others. I am impressed. This went on a list. Where's the other part? The sacrificial barter of free will.
That was great, eh?
The whispering subtle gestures of what was and never to be again. Yeah, you know, it's all there. It's all there. So it went on a list. Very good.
Yeah, well, Pluto's still the last poem of the night, no matter what.
No, he's not. I told you when I got here, I dropped one on your topic board.
What do you mean? I'm so confused. I'm very confused.
Oh, it's okay. It's not uploading anyway, so don't worry about it.
Okay, go. Okay, you guys are killing me. All right, I will move that to next week. It will be open. I have a couple others that I didn't get permission for till after my show, so I will pull that with you next week. People are killing me.
Can I tell the rest of the joke?
Yes.
Hey, Gress.
Yeah, what's up?
What's the difference between Dubai and Yabby Dabby?
Yum yum, I don't know.
Dubai does not like the Flintstones, but the Yabby Dabby do.
With that, we're going to say goodnight, world. This is Sweetie on Sweet Discussions, and I hope you join me next Thursday night. Friday night, we have a special show. It's an invite-only show, so hope you get your invite. And Saturday night is a show about absolutely nothing with Hatter and Wonderland Stars with Hatter AP and Dev. Hatter, tell us about your nothing show.
That's right. That button on that shirt is in the wrong place.
Thank you for using Talk Punk Radio. Goodbye.
Not quite.
Goodbye.
And Sunday is the Pretty Sweet Tease. Look it up on the Team of Voices, and we'll take you right over to Pretty Sweet Seductions. For the over 18 to join. And Monday night, once again, is Virtual Pop Monday with Deborah Lee. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please leave them on the Team of Voice topic board. We'll be happy to get your answers. Everybody, thank you for joining me once again. I cannot do this without you. Love and respect from me to you. Everybody, have a wonderful night.
Good night, everyone. Love
thank you. See y'all later.
Good night.
Love
y'all.
See you, Gracias.
Bye.
Bye,
everybody.